The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That is the third commandment of the ten, and that will be our topic today. I'm Pastor Schulze. Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week over this station at this time. Let me give you the third commandment in its entirety. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. In other words, there is a penalty to be paid if we use God's name in vain. There's a blessing to be lost if we do so. One reason why there's so much sickness and heartache and tragedy in many of our churches and believers' lives is that too many of them, in the zeal of the Lord, in order to try to gain spiritual advantage or prominence, end up using the name of God in vain. Using the name of the Lord in vain is one of the most dangerous things you can do. It may gain you temporal advantage amongst your fellow believers, but in the long run, you will lose out, for God will not leave you guiltless. Before I get deeper into this third commandment, what does it mean to use God's name in vain? So I'm talking to you from one of the commentaries. It's called the Believer's Bible Study. And there it says, quote, using the name of the Lord in vain includes both the frivolous use of God's name and its wicked and deceitful use, for example, in swearing or lying, or to accomplish a selfish or wicked goal, for example, a false prophecy, claiming God said something when he did not, unquote. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? So let me sort this out a little bit. First of all, let's consider using God's name in a frivolous way. Many people use God's name from time to time to be funny. They use God's name without showing a reverence for the name of the Lord. And if we do that, my friend, it is a very serious problem that we need deliverance from. Secondly, some people use God's name in swearing. That is also a very serious violation of the third commandment. At times this is done in association with a curse. At other times it is done in a courthouse. At one time I was called to jury duty, and the judge asked all the jury to swear by the name of God. And I told the judge, just a minute here, I'm not going to do that. Because you see, Jesus was re-emphasizing our need to keep the third commandment in his Sermon on the Mount. And that is in Matthew chapter 5, and this is what Jesus says there. But I say unto you, swear not at all, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So we're not to swear by anybody, and certainly not by the name of God. And Jesus said, if we go beyond yes, sir, yes or no, he says, anything beyond that cometh of evil. And actually the Greek text says, everything beyond that cometh of the evil one. So we don't want to use the name of God in a frivolous way, because if we do that, we will be held guilty, and we don't want to use the name of God by swearing, then we will also be held guilty. And we don't want to use the name of God in order to gain advantage for ourselves. And this is brought out in Matthew chapter 7. This is also in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reinforces the third commandment two times, warning us of the dangers of using the name of God in vain. Don't use God's name for personal advantage or to gain spiritual superiority over others. Or, like our commentator says, we are not to use God's name in a self-promoting, deceitful way. Jesus says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven, but he that doeth the will of God. Now, my friend, let me ask you, how common is using God's name in vain to gain spiritual advantage or to promote oneself? How common is that? Well, I say it's very common in many places in the world today. Jesus indicated 2,000 years ago that many people would do that, because in verse 22, Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, many on judgment day, will there be who have done that using the name of God in vain? He's talking here about believers. He's talking here about Christians. Jesus says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now, the word prophesied basically means, have we not spoken under divine inspiration and authority? Oh, my friend, it would be wonderful if we would all speak under divine inspiration and authority. But the fact is that many who say they are not. I'm deeply concerned about the millions of Christians who, my friend, had a marvelous experience of conversion, who read their Bibles and who read their Bibles frequently and go to church and pray and witness for Jesus, but who are using God's name in vain in order to gain a position of spiritual authority in their congregations. I've seen many, and I say many people who have come to church as almost self-proclaimed prophets, and they have a, quote, leading, unquote, about this, or they have a, quote, direction, unquote, from God about that, and they have a, quote, word of knowledge for this or that person, and so on and so on. And after church, many times, these people go to someone to counsel them and to tell them what the Lord is telling them and what they ought to do about their marriage and their purchases, and they give them all kinds of directions. Many of these people, unfortunately, don't pay their bills. Many of them watch ungodly television programs, and many of them go to movies, and many of them dress in ungodly ways, and many of them, my friend, are unfaithful in church services, and you never know if they're going to be there the next church service, or if they're going to be in another church, another meeting someplace, as the wind blows them, so to speak. You can't count on them. You can't build a church on them. You don't know whether they'll be there tomorrow or gone the next day, because they will put themselves under no one's authority. And this is serious. Listen, my friend, before any lay person gives any direction to any member of the congregation, starting with, the Lord told me, or I have a word of knowledge for you, that you are to marry this person, you are to buy this house, you are to start a prayer meeting. My friend, before any lay person gives any direction to any member of the congregation, starting with, the Lord told me, that lay person better first see the pastor and check to see if the pastor has a witness to that lay person's prophecy or word of knowledge. When a lay person begins to direct other church members' lives with phrases beginning, the Lord told me, I have a word of knowledge for you, without the pastor's knowledge or permission, they observe authority over the pastor, and they put themselves above the pastor, and they are a great danger to the church. They will sooner or later create strife, division, and confusion. Now, layperson You may get by with doing this on earth for a while, but remember there's a judgment day to come. And on that judgment day, God will say to you, I don't know who you are, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Oh, dear friend, many of these Lord people, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, my friend, are persons who have been in their second and third marriages. Others, my friend, are men who are unkind and unloving to their wives, and wives who have an unsubmitting attitude towards their husbands. Doesn't the Bible say somewhere that by their fruits ye shall know them? And my friend, Christianity must begin at the home. And if the couple is not happily married in Jesus and is not joined together in such a way as to show the beautiful relationship between Christ and his bride, you have serious problems, my friend, in listening to the Lord says this and the Lord says that. This is why Paul talks about bishops or deacons or pastors, people in spiritual leadership. He means people of authority in the spirit. They must be husbands of one wife. They must have their children under subjection. They must be sober. They must be well spoken of. They must have credibility in the community. And with people with credibility amongst the saints of God, it is very likely when they say, and they say it cautiously, the Lord has told me, or the Lord has directed me, that that is truly of the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't know how many churches have been weakened, destroyed, and experienced division from those self-proclaimed prophets who, quote, hear from the Lord, unquote, most every day about somebody. Dear ones, I want you to know that I'm very, very much for going by the voice of God. I've taught this for years and years, and the Bible supports that we go by the voice of God. All the great things that have ever occurred that have eternal value have come by the voice of God. From the very beginning, God spake, and the universe came into existence. And God spake again to Abraham, and a nation was born. And God spake again, and the laws from heaven came down to earth. And God spake through his prophets, and God spake to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And God spake through the apostles. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So we need to learn to hear the voice of Jesus. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to go by the voice of the Lord, to be able to say, the Lord told me so, when he indeed did so. This is what pleases the Lord. And then we have the great admonition from the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, where Paul says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But dear ones, we have to be careful that we will not use God's name in vain. And again, I want to tell you, this third commandment and all of the ten were first given to believers, to God's covenant people. And so we are the first ones to be warned, we Christians, not to use God's name in vain, but to be careful that when we speak and say, God told me, or God is directing me, that we are absolutely sure that this is not from the figment of our own imagination, that it is not something we say to gain advantage, to look like we're some great spiritual giant. Believers, first of all, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And then we have Jesus' reinforcement by his teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, indeed, it is a very dangerous thing to say, the Lord has told me, when he has not. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now, until then.